This is the podcast, not an interview. This is a conversation. No gimmicks, just reasons. 84 reasons. Come holler at me. What up, my good people? If you can see my face, you know what time it is. It's another great episode of 84 Reasons. No games, no gimmicks, just reason. Before you do anything, make sure you like, share, and subscribe this episode. And make sure you go to floridavictorias.com. Type in 84 Reasons in the coupon code. That's floridavictorias.com. Type in 84 Reasons in the coupon code. My guest today, though, look, we haven't had a lot of royalty on here from the softball team, but my next guest comes about as accomplished as you can be, from high school, a three-time athlete player of the year in high school. Spent a lot of time in California, her and her dad, a lot of freaking flyer miles in California. Didn't come from a state known for softball in Colorado, but didn't let that stop her. Started out in the ACC with them Cardinals, jumped in the portal. I think committed when she was in the eighth grade. My goodness, they didn't know you could commit in the eighth grade. Now, in Gainesville, representing the orange and blue, the great Corby Otis. How you doing today, Corby?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me on.
Now, Corby, I mean, I want to, you know, before I even get to where you are now, the thing about baseball, whatever you do when you're growing up, my daughter, I mean, she's a dual sport athlete like yourself. I know that you and your dad, I know you're from Colorado, didn't come up in a soccer state, but ventured out, realized, hey, I mean, California's not right there, but it's close enough. Talk about just being that young and your father understanding, look, I want my daughter to be able to have the exposure it takes to get the attention it takes. Talk about those times, those 6 years in California. That's a lot of traveling.
Absolutely. Yes, it is. And you're absolutely right about those frequent flyer miles. So I really owe it all to my family. They made a lot of sacrifices when I was younger, growing up in travel ball, and then especially when we decided to start moving to play on a team in California. I owe a lot of thanks to them for that. My dad made a lot of sacrifices to come out on the weekend with me. We traveled to California almost every weekend for 6 years, about the time that I started seventh grade. So in middle school, it actually started ironically with my pitching career. So I used to pitch. I pitched up until my junior year of high school, and my pitching coach at the time we were kind of frustrated with like the competition that we were playing in Colorado. And so he had just said, okay, well then go find a team that you're going to win a national championship with. That's their goal. And so we reached out to a few organizations. We reached out to some in Texas and Chicago and California, and we just kind of found one. Coincidentally, their older team was in Colorado for the Sparkler. And so I went and tried out for them, and we got a call in the parking lot after we were like, just as we were leaving the facility, and was like, we'd love to have you come out and come to a practice for us and come play for us. So that is kind of how we got started. It definitely was a lot of work for me and my dad. Obviously, he juggles a business on his own. And obviously, when you're away from the family, like, that is a big factor too. But it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work. And I just kind of learned from an early age to manage my time really well with my studies. And I would have to get everything done in the start of the week so we could travel. We would fly out to California on a Friday. We would have hitting lessons that Friday night. We'd have practice for 6 hours on Saturday and Sunday, and then we'd fly out Sunday night and do it all again the next week. So that's kind of how it was, and I'm incredibly grateful for that opportunity and those experiences that I got from it.
Most athletes have to get used to the structure of college athletics, like everything you just mentioned, from the eating to the studying, trying to have a personal life, if there is a such thing in college. Structure is not something that a seventh or eighth grader probably don't know how to spell, let alone know how to do it. With the schedule that you had, what does that do to a person as young as you are at the time to say, all right, I realize what we're doing, but you like, dude, I'm spending more time in airports than I'm spending at home.
Yeah, it was definitely something that you had to get used to, and I just had to get I just had to adapt quickly. And I think that when you talk about like what a student athlete looks like in college versus like what I was doing, it was pretty similar. So when I got to college, traveling and like managing my time for homework and practice and everything like that, obviously your practice volume is a lot larger in college, but a lot of the same principles apply. You just kind of have to do what you need to do before you do what you want to do, and just kind of stick with that. So that's kind of what I did. And honestly, it was just my dad. I had told my dad from very early on that like it was my dream to play college softball and to go win a national championship. And that had been my mentality after we went for the first time to the Women's College World Series. We watched in person, and I actually watched Florida play Michigan. And I had decided from then on that I was like, I want to play softball in college. So my dad was like, okay, if that's your dream, then we're going to both invest in it. And it's going to take investment from you, and it's going to take investment from me, and we're going to go after it. And as long as you want to chase that dream, I'm going to chase it with you.
When you talk about seeing the College World Series and seeing Florida and Michigan, you being a softball player, because they say when you play the game, I'm looking at it differently. We're watching the same game. What is Corby watching? Like, you're watching the game. How do you not get engulfed with what you're watching and say, all right, let me see how these young ladies approach the game?
Yeah, gosh. I would say when I watched softball back then, it was very different. I was just kind of like, you kind of have a shell-shocked moment a little bit to be like, wow, like this is the College World Series. Like, this is what you watch on TV in your house. And these are the celebrity players. And so that's kind of how I felt. It was a little bit of shell shock when I was younger, but now I watch softball and it's kind of like you can't turn it off. I'm like analyzing film and hitting approaches and what the pitcher's throwing and what the team is doing. So really it's kind of hard to turn off now, but definitely at that age, it was kind of like I was watching like my favorite TV show being filmed live, if that makes sense.
You're from Colorado. You spent 6 years going to California. You go to Louisville, you know, coming out of high school. Did going to California make you, because most athletes want to stay close to home. I mean, that's what I'm used to for two reasons. One, I want to stay close to home. Two, I want my parents and family to come see me.
Mm-hmm.
Was it not a culture shock for you going that far away from home? I mean, you going from two different parts of the country, literally time zones and everything. How was it going from Colorado to Louisville, leaving home with everything you have already done at such a young age already?
Yeah, it was, I mean, obviously that big of a difference, you're going to have a little bit of a culture shock anyway. And that certainly happens, I feel like, when you get to college anyway, especially coming from a place that's far away. But I think any freshman kind of goes through that. It's just a different way of life. You have to plan your life around softball, to do laundry and to go to the grocery store, which normally you don't have to do because you have people at home supporting you and doing that for you. So there's a little bit of a culture shock there, but my dad had always had it as a rule to say, like, you can't go to college in state. Like, he went to Abilene Christian his first 2 years of school, and in Texas, and he's from Colorado, he's a native, and he said that he grew up so much just because he wasn't close to home, and he couldn't call his mom or dad and be like, hey, can you come buy me groceries for the weekend? Like, I didn't get a chance. I have midterms coming up. I have practice. So that was his rule, that I couldn't go in state at least. And I just kind of picked a place that was far away coincidentally, but that was his rule for me always, is just so I could grow up on my own and be able to figure things out and mature in that way.
Corbin, when I think about you and your game, I think of certain things. I think of availability. I mean, you went to, I mean, 2022, 2023, played in 108 games, started in 108 games. I mean, availability and durability is the greatest thing an athlete can have. Listen, I can't make an impact if I'm not out there. You are out there. But this is what I saw. A 414 average at the plate, 502 on base percentage. How in the world does one maintain that level of sustainability in a sport that the best players have the less failure rate? Baseball, softball is a big failure rate, but the ones who, I guess, fail the least succeed the most.
Yeah. Honestly, it comes down to consistency with your process and your routines. And that was something that I feel like I really improved on from my freshman year to my sophomore year. Just in general, you get a whole year of experience, right? A whole year of seeing new arms, a whole year of prepping for games, a whole year of series play. So coming off of that, that experience is huge. And that's not really something that you can get anywhere else unless you go through it yourself. And so I would say that a lot of it is just consistency in what you're doing day in and day out, in your routines warming up, in your routines during the week, and then just consistency in like what you're trying to do up here in the 6 inches of gray matter between your ears. That is really what it boils down to. I've worked with a lot of, I guess, a couple of the really good sports psychologist minds in our game. I've worked with Brian Kane, Ken Revisa, Tom Hansen, and really a lot of what I use now, my mental toolkit, comes from them. So I'm super grateful to them for all of their experience that they were able to impose on me.
The incredible voice you're hearing right now is superstar outfielder for the Gator softball team, Corby Otis. I mean, we're just talking all things softball, travel, California, Louisville. But I got to ask this. Before we even get to plan for, you know, Gator softball and, you know, in Florida, that is prestigious as it gets. You talk about watching them in the World Series. I got to ask, though. Colorado gets hot. California gets hot. Louisville gets hot. Florida is different. Everybody knows, heat and humidity. You hear that. It ain't the heat. How did you adjust? How long did it take you to realize, my goodness, man, like, y'all deal with this every day? Every day. It ain't got hot yet. You hear that. It ain't even, quote, got hot yet. How did Corby adjust to the heat and humidity in Gainesville?
Certainly, I was thrown into the fire in August and September. Those are the hottest months here. So when I got here, it was already that hot. So I would just say this, that I have never drank more water in my entire life. So that was my goal. Just stay hydrated.
Corbin, we are in the, you guys are a part of this NIL, this exposure type world now. I mean, Florida Victorious is doing an incredible job. I know you deal with softball through a holistic way. The whole person, from not just on the field, off the field, but off the field in Florida, what Florida Victorious does is incredible. When I'm quote social media stalking y'all, which I have to do to keep up with what y'all doing, I see doing, you know, Alachua Habitat. When I'm seeing, you know, Boys and Girls Clubs, YMCAs. How has Florida Victorious helped Corby Otis understand that, listen, you got Coach Walt, you play for the Gators, so you're going to have the greatest facilities, coaches, players, and surroundings, but away from the softball diamond, how has Florida Victorious impacted you?
Yeah, you're truly right. We live in a world of NIL right now, and it's a little bit crazy, and not everybody understands it, but Florida Victorious does a really, really good job for us. If you don't know, Florida Victorious is like an NIL collective for the Gators, and the organization basically allows athletes at Florida to benefit from their name, image, and likeness. And these opportunities that they give us to do that are kind of a two for one. So it's really cool because we get to benefit from our NIL opportunities there, but we also get to go out in the community in Gainesville and do some really good work and connect with the community, both as a way to extend our fan base and as a way to just impact other people off of the field, which I think is kind of hard for some of the fans to see sometimes, because if you only see us on the field, you see us such a small part of our lives. So even though softball is a very big part of my life, but it's just such a small part of the person. It's not the whole part. So Florida Victorious does a really good job with that. It's kind of, like I said, it's a really good way for us to benefit from our NIL, but it's more than that. It's being able to go out in the community and impact people. Personally, I've worked with some elementary schools through Florida Victorious. I worked with Habitat for Humanities. I'm going this month to work with the Pace Center for Girls. So not only impacting the community and showing that we want to give back to our fan base, but going and impacting individual lives, like the lives of those kids that we see in the elementary school, the girls that we'll meet in the Pace Center. That is what's really cool about it to me.
You talk about the impact. We talk about what Florida Victorious does. You talk about being able to go to the different centers and Boys and Girls Clubs, YMCAs. But me being a former athlete, you being a current one, we think we know how we impact people, how much people love Florida Gator athletics. Then we walk in and they have to tell them, calm down, sit down, give me a second to introduce them, because we represent what one, the school and team, the teams that they love, the sports that they love, but Florida softball in particular, when you're a young girl, when you're a young lady, you say, look, I don't necessarily care about being compared to my male counterparts. I just don't want to be seen as less than my male counterparts. How does you walking into these facilities knowing, look, Florida softball, y'all some of the most popular athletes at Florida, right? When I was there, yeah, we used to challenge y'all. Man, I can hit that. I can hit that fastball. But then you stand in front of it, and I'm like this. No, I can't hit it. I'm going to try to bunt this thing. I'm not going to hit it. But
right.
When you talk, when Corby walks in, you're walking in, and like you say, look, yes, I'm still representing Florida in softball, but they're meeting Corby. They're getting to meet me. Just talk about that experience and understanding that, man, I am a student and an athlete, but I'm a person first. What do they get the experience from you when you're away from everything saying, look, I'm literally letting my hair down, doing my best to just give you guys me for the next hour or so that I'm here?
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. The Gator Nation has some of the best fans around. So when you meet those people off the field, you get to learn about them too. So that's really cool to connect with them on a different level than that. And also I'll say, I think a lot of us athletes are very different on the field than off the field. I personally can say that I'm a totally different person on the field than I am off. And so when I walk into my Florida Victorious opportunities, or if I get approached when I'm going to class or whatever, they're seeing who I am, Corby, they're seeing Corby the person, not Corby the softball player who has the eye black on and is doing all those things on the field. They're just seeing me for me, and I think that's really cool, and I'm getting to know them for who they are. They're not a fan at that point. They're whoever they are. So I think it's really cool that we can, through these opportunities also, we're not defined by our sport. We're defined by who we are as people. So that's kind of how I would word it. It's just, that's a really cool opportunity to show people that part of our lives.
I say that because I do understand that the one thing that you do not have is time. So the mere fact that your schedule is wake up in the morning, like, listen, I get to sleep sometimes. I get to sleep at this time, I get to eat at this time. But I like how you said, I get to be myself. I get to take the competitiveness off. Mm-hmm. Which is hard to do when you're yes. fearful like yourself, to just go, hey, listen. I just want to breathe for 2 hours. Because as soon as I walk out of here, I'm headed somewhere, ice tub, or, you know, go lift, or go, you know, something. But when it comes to you, though, Corby, though, you talk about being a fierce competitor.
Mm-hmm.
You have a plate presence when you're out there. What you, I don't know, when you're out there, are you staring? Obviously, you got to look at the pitcher, but are you staring them down? Are you trying to get some? They're trying to show off some pitches that they want to do. What type of plate, appearance or presence do you want to have when you're out there? Because like I said, to do what you do, you obviously understand, you know, how to go out there and be poised. You know, go through my warm-up, just let the game come to me. But you're very intimidating, not necessarily because of, you know, your stature, but your game. Those pitchers know, all right, man, either I'm gonna look real good, or she's gonna be trotting around these bases. Talk about your plate appearances and how you only get so many. You got to make every one of them count. You're not gonna get a hit every time. But what are you thinking when you walk up to the plate?
Yeah, so really it boils down to matching my medal with their medal, which is really cool. It's kind of like sports are kind of like old time gladiator games, but it kind of matches down to that. Like, I'm working my butt off during the week to go and compete this weekend. So is she. So I'm matching whatever I have with whatever you have. Give me your best and I'll give you mine. That's kind of how I see it. And then ultimately, like, when you're in the box, there can't be like, I coin, like, my hitting coach at Louisville kind of coins this phrase, less thinky, more swingy. So there's not a lot that can go on up here. You just kind of have to commit to whatever you're doing, commit to your plan, and just take your game against her game, and always bet on yourself.
A pitcher that gave you a fastball right over play. I mean, does the ball like swell up? Like, I'm about to not, she done gave me, like, it's one of those things to where I'm hoping to get a certain pitch. She's giving me that. Does the ball get bigger and say, either this thing is going, Lisa, either this thing is going to go, you know, out of the yard, or I'm going to make a really, really good, you know, opportunity here. Because, like I said, the person has never played baseball or softball. I can only imagine when you get that, you know, it's coming right across the plate. It's like you're trying not to grit your teeth and go, oh, my God, this is going to be nice.
Yeah. You just kind of, I mean, honestly, my phrase to myself is just react. You have so little time to make a decision for pitches and then even less time to get a swing off on that pitch if you decide to go. So you just kind of, I just have to tell myself to react. I know that my eyes are going to see, like, I need to trust my eyes. My eyes are going to see the pitch. And sometimes that ball looks like a beach ball up there. And other times you just don't see it well and it looks like a ping pong ball coming at you. So it definitely looks different sometimes, but I would just say ultimately you just got to react because there's no time to for any kind of conscious thought process up there.
I mean, speaking of reacting, I mean, you play in the outfield. I mean, I'm not talking about the routine, you know, fly out. I'm talking about the one, as soon as they let it go, oh, I got to go get it. Like, you, it's like you see it, and you on your horse, mm-hmm. and you got to make a viral. It used to be sports in the top 10, now it's viral. Everything goes viral. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which one? When you see it come off the bat, and you think, oh, I got to go get this one, do you just react and say, look, this one's gonna hurt? Like, I'm gonna have to die for this one. talk about the instincts that go on. Because obviously, when I think of instinctual, you know, players in the field, I think of two. With shortstops, mm-hmm. outfielders, because the ball gets on you very, very quickly. So mm-hmm. when you're talking about your instincts out there, is it positioning? Is it, like you say, because y'all, of course, y'all got great pitching, so y'all can get Will to sleep just because. How does one react? How does one react to that one that you got to go get?
Yeah, I mean, you got to be ready every play. That's definitely part of it. If you're not ready to go get the ball every play, you probably aren't going to have the best play to go make on it. But yeah, like you said, it's really an instinct thing. Sometimes there's almost no conscious thought that goes on. It's literally just your athletic instincts taking over and you're running and going to get the ball and sliding under it or diving for it. And sometimes you make those plays and you don't really know what just happens. Like, your body just did it for you. So that's kind of how I would describe it.
You said bet on yourself, which is something that I know you live by, which is something that a lot of players, we struggle with that. You know, and the greater the player, I was always saying, the greater the player, the bigger the doubt. The higher up you go, that doubt just creeps in. Why does Corby Otis always say, I got to bet on myself? Not just, you know, out there on the field, mm-hmm. but in life. Why does Corby use that as a moniker for her life?
Yeah, I mean, I would say this. I know about myself that any situation that I've been given in the past, I have been able to adapt to and find a way to excel or pursue excellence. That's really what is my reasoning for it, because in my history, I guess I would have no reason not to be confident in my abilities to adapt to a new environment. I did it at Louisville, I did it travel teams, I'm doing it here. So that's kind of how I would say it. I have no reason not to be confident in myself, so why would I not bet on myself?
How much better is your game when doubt is eliminated? I'm not thinking, mm-hmm. I'm just reacting. And somebody got to deal with me when I get out there. How, mm-hmm. how much better is your game when all those things are clicking?
It's not even close. It's not even close. When you're playing free like that, free of doubt, free of worry, free of anything else that might get in your way, it's so different. It's kind of like if you're learning to drive. You get really tense and you make every maneuver try to make every new maneuver perfect and go in this direction. But like now when you hop in a car, you just kind of unconsciously drive. Like sometimes you might not even remember going through a green light because you're just doing it automatically. That's kind of what it feels like. Whether you're like forcing yourself to go out there and compete and try and do these things, or if you're just doing it automatically, that's kind of the difference.
To those athletes coming up who have doubt, who think that, because we talk about eliminated doubt means I'm eliminated in the moment. It comes back. I'm eliminating stress and worry. It comes back because they'll say, well, of course, Corby can say that because look at what she's done. I mean, she's from Colorado. She went to California. She went to Louisville. Now she's at Florida. They don't think that you have normal, you know, situations that happen in life, like the stress, like the doubt, like the worry, like the wanting to meet the expectations that come with a place like Florida to where you can't hide. What does Corby say to those athletes who have to deal with it, who think that you don't have to deal with it?
Yeah, I would say that they're completely wrong. I definitely have dealt with those things and continue to deal with those things. When I use my mental tool belt, that's not something that you just do once or twice and it just continues to work for you, unfortunately, or else everybody would be able to do that. It's definitely a daily effort to go and do those things. And honestly, sometimes I still struggle with it just because of something going on or other stressors. And, you know, really lately I've just been trying to the best way that I can tell you is I just give those worries to God. And I'm a big person about my faith. And I really, that is something that I've been working on personally. So being able to, if I'm worrying about a midterm, if I'm worrying about getting a hit, if I have these constant thoughts going on in my head, I just have to take a minute, and either it's before the game or in the dugout or whatever, and just say, I give them to you, Lord. I give them to you, and I'm going to fly by your plan. I know it's not my timing, it's yours. And so that's kind of how I have gone about it in my past couple years. It's definitely something that is so much easier said than done. And like I said, it's still a daily effort to do some of those things sometimes. So it's definitely hard. It's definitely not something that you can do once and you just have it automatically fixed. It's kind of like one of those cars that you just kind of have to constantly tinker with and work on. And then the battery doesn't work and you got to put a new battery in. And it just requires daily, daily effort. So
don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. That's what I used to do when I was in college. Like, I don't worry about anything. I pray about everything. But you just said something, though. Speaking of cars, I heard this incredible athlete talk about Corvettes and Ferraris. I don't know if she was comparing herself to a Corvette or a Ferrari, but what was that analogy? I heard you say something about a Corvette or Ferrari as far as, like, both are different cars, but both need different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, If you're a car person, and I'm not super car person, but I've heard this metaphor before and I really liked it. And it's that there's not a whole lot of difference between a Corvette or a Ferrari. There is about 10% difference. The engine is about the same. Things are tuned, but things are tuned differently. Parts can be different. Parts can be more expensive, more better to make the car work more efficiently. Things like that. So there's really 10% difference between that Corvette and that Ferrari. There's not a difference in that price tag because the Ferrari obviously performs a lot better on the track, on the whatever. So there's a difference there. And that 10% would be like the difference between being a really good athlete and going to be a really great athlete. And so it just takes little tunings every day or things like that go into that process to make it from a Corvette into a Ferrari. So I kind of use that analogy to say, like, in my game today, I'm not going to be able to make a wholesale change. Like, I'm not going to be able to say, okay, I'm going to hit left-handed now because that's what I think I should do in my career to make me better. That's not what it is anymore. It's very small changes, very minor adjustments to try and get me to be a little bit better every day.
We're going to have, you know how many kids going to be going up to their dad saying, listen, Corby drives a Corvette or Ferrari. I heard.
Right.
Like, I don't think she drives a Corvette or Ferrari. Like, dad, she drives both.
I wish that I did. Maybe one day.
Listen, to all the Corvette and Ferrari dealerships out there, man, make sure y'all reach out, you know what I'm saying, to Corby Otis to give her a free one. She just talked about the price tag. I'll take the car. I don't want the price tag.
Right.
I don't want the maintenance. Just comparison. But before I let you out of here, the culture that is Gator softball. I mean, if you've never been around it, you cannot exaggerate it, from the fans, from the players, from the coaches, just the atmosphere alone. You're a part of that culture now. You mm-hmm. talked about seeing Florida play in the College World Series, but now you're a part of that Gator softball culture. To people that will only see it and won't experience it. Try your best to explain what it's like.
Yeah, I would say this. When I got to Florida, we were constant, like I think we were asking about strength and conditioning specifically. And this was when I had committed and I was like, okay, well, what do I need to do to prepare for the fitness test? Well, there's no fitness test. And that's because every day is a test at Florida. And truly it is about pursuing excellence and trying to meet high expectations and then make them even higher. And it's very much like a performance business, if that makes sense. Like, we get in, we do our work, we pursue excellence, and then we go pursue excellence in other parts of our lives. That's really what it's about. And sometimes it definitely gets hard to do that and constantly try and work towards something better and work towards something better. But that goes back to the analogy that you mentioned. It's there's so little difference and so many little things that you can tweak to be better. That's kind of how it is here. That's how it is here.
We talked about Corvettes and Ferraris, and we talked about California and Louisville, and we talked about Florida Victorious and dealing with the heat. But the thing about you, I think, Corbin, that's come out in this conversation, because I have conversations. I'm a conversationalist. I don't do interviews. I don't have talking points. I want to get to know the person while sitting down with them for 25, 35, 45 minutes. I think the thing that jumps out the screen about you is how authentic and original you are. You don't run away from saying, yeah, man, I'm strong in my faith. I have stress. I have worry. I have doubts. But when I put all that to the side, it's over. If I could take all that and put in a box and say, just stay there for 3 hours. I'll see you in a minute. When I'm on that plate, when I'm out there, because for me, you know, I was blessed enough to play football in Florida and play in the National Football League. People used to ask me, what did football do for you? I said, man, it was my escape. All that other stuff goes away, man. Like, that stuff is still there. You know, driving to the game in the NFL, somebody cut me off in traffic. All right, I got to deal with it on the field. What does softball mean to Corby Owens?
I mean, it's exactly what you said. It is an escape. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever I'm dealing with off the field, whether it be somebody, I didn't get a good grade on a test, or somebody told me I looked dumb, or whatever it is, if it's relationship problems, if it's other stressors, anything like that, it all just kind of melts away when you get to the field. It really does. And just softball really allows me to be where my feet are. It forces me to be where my feet are. And that is really, really huge, because I am where I am 100% of the time. And I like how you had mentioned that, like, I am who I am 100% of the time. I am. And you can like me or not like me, but I'm going to be who I am 100% of the time. And you always know what you're going to get. And so that's kind of what softball is for me. It allows me to do that. If I have something going on in softball, I go and attack it that day, and then I'm off the field, and I'm in my car back driving to my apartment, and I'm going to study for this next exam. And so really, softball is an escape for me, but it also clears my mind to the point where I can go and pursue excellence in other parts of my life as well. Even though softball takes up a really big part of my time and has been a huge part of my life for as long as I can remember. But it really does allow me to separate things like that really well.
When you are a student athlete, the biggest thing you have to give up is self. I mean, sacrifice is going to be huge. From I sacrifice my time, I sacrifice my energy, I sacrifice everything for the betterment of the team, for the betterment of the culture, for the betterment of those around me. No greater sacrifice was made those 6 years, you and your dad going back and forth to California with him having his own business. I know he's going to see this. We're going to make sure that he sees this. I know you've told him on many occasions. What would you say to your daddy going back them 6 years back and forth, knowing that he's trying, because he still is, he's still a father, still a husband, he's still, you know, a provider, he still has to provide all those things, but let's get on it, let's head to this airport. They got probably used to seeing y'all at Terminal 19, I don't know, but what does Corby Otis say to her father?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because we definitely would get recognized in the airport, and that's a little sad, but there's not enough words that I could tell him. He is my, like, in California, he became my best friend. Like, me and my dad have always had a really good relationship, but in being as young as I was, he always treated me like an adult, and he said that I'm going to treat you like that until you prove that you can't be treated like that. So I am like my dad in a dress, and it's going to make me emotional, but I can't thank him enough. I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't be who I am without him. So
she is Corby Otis from Littleton, Colorado. Nothing little about her game, by the way. From Littleton, Colorado to California to Louisville, not dealing with the heat and humidity. Don't even get her hair done anymore. Why? Why spend money to get my hair done? I'm going to sweat it out on the way to the car. Okay.
She's got to sweat it out. It's not even worth a shower. It's sometimes it's like, why did I even shower today? I'm already sweating. I just walked out of the apartment.
As great as Corby is as a player, and she is. We're talking about scholar athlete. We're talking about three-time athlete of the year in high school. We're talking about all-conference when she was at Louisville, all-American. Even better person away from the diamond. I think what you give people the most is you. I think what it took me a long time to understand as an athlete is when you're around people, they just want to meet the person. They get it. You're bigger than life. You have to show them, listen, the part I forgot about, y'all remind me of when I'm in front of you. Keep doing what you're doing. I hope those softballs look like, you know, beach balls coming across that plate. Stay healthy. Stay healthy. Stay hydrated. Keep doing what you're doing. She is Corby Otis. I am Ben Troop. This is the latest installment of 84 Reasons. No games, no gimmicks, just a reason. What's the reason for the day? Corby Otis. If you don't know, make sure you get to know. And we out of here.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for having me on. Go Gators.